Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
For the sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
We've been covering quite a bit the story surrounding those San Francisco Giants that wore the hats, the pride hats, and wrote the Genesis passage on it. And then Major League Baseball came out and they said, hey, knock it off. If this continues, we're going to have problems and we're going to assess fines. And then after that, NBC News reported last night, no, that's today. NBC News reported this morning, minor league baseball team in Pennsylvania cancels Pride Night game after players refuse to wear jerseys with rainbow sleeves. And so now we find out that the Attorney General of the state of Missouri is joining some other attorneys general across the country in leaning into this and attempting to protect the religious freedom of those individuals in Missouri. Let's get to our guest right now. Missouri Attorney General Catherine Hanaway joins us. Thank you so much for being here with us today. It's great to have you on the show.
Great to be on the show, Annie. Thanks so much for covering this issue, which I think is just a free speech issue.
Yeah, talk to me of the foundational basis. You know, of course, a lot of people are going to have opinions on this, but opinions don't necessarily lean directly into the potential legal action. What are your concerns in what you've seen reported so far that might have legal consequence?
Well, my concerns are that the First Amendment gives everyone the right to the free exercise of religion. And there's Supreme Court cases that say if you have to wear a uniform at work, you should be able to display your religious beliefs in a subtle, non-offensive way. And if you look at the Bible verse that's quoted on these hats, it's Genesis. It's about where the rainbow comes from and God's promise that he'll never flood the earth again. I mean, it has nothing to do with sexual orientation, and it's just sad, frankly, that America's game is now being used as a platform to advance radical agendas. And thank goodness these players had the courage to stand up, and now we'll stand with them and protect their rights.
So, you know, Major League Baseball, minor league baseball, these are, as I understand it, private companies, and they're going to have initiatives. They're going to try to promote things. I'm trying to, as I've been talking about this, put myself into the shoes of somebody who would be really excited and supportive of the idea of a Pride night. And the counter to it I can think of is maybe on a Memorial Day or July 4th, the uniform turns into a hat that's got the red, white, and blue in the STL or the SF, as it were, in San Francisco. Is that something that is different in your eyes when it comes to putting the Pride flag into a uniform that those players are then told, or maybe something on a sleeve, like Minor League was trying to do in Pennsylvania? Is that something... Is there a difference in those two virtues that are being pushed into the uniform that the players are asking to be to wear?
I don't think terribly from a legal perspective. And, you know, I think that the players on those days, when the team is trying to advance a particular message, should have the option to wear their standard uniform. And that's really all that these players were saying, is either let us put the Bible verse on our hat, or let us just wear the normal San Francisco Giants uniform. And that kind of protection of not compelling an individual to speak something they don't believe would continue, I think, in all those circumstances. There, to my knowledge, has not been a test over a Memorial Day celebration or 4th of July celebration.
Sports Illustrated posted about the three Giants pitchers wearing Bible verses on their Pride night caps during that last Friday's games. Major League Baseball issued a warning to them. Have you read through that warning? Is there much bite to the bark of saying, you know, kind of the finger wag, like, okay, knock it off, we don't need this?
No, but there is sort of the promise of some escalation if it continues. And that's where we've reached out to MLB to say, I haven't read the letter. I've only read news summaries of it. We want to see the letter. We want to see who it was sent to. We want to see what documentation backs it up. And that's what we're asking MLB to do, unless they'll simply agree not to force players to, wear uniforms that advance a particular point of view or political agenda.
I would assume, too, we're speaking with the Attorney General of the state of Missouri, Catherine Hanaway, right now, that when you're talking about players in Missouri, does that mean Missouri, if you're a St. Louis Cardinal, or if you're in a minor league team and this is happening to you, but outside of the state, do you retain jurisdiction over that decision? Or if the Chicago Cubs cross the river and come into Missouri, is what you're fighting to do protecting all those players when they're in the geography of the state of Missouri?
Yeah, so our position is that Major League Baseball is one company, and that they operate in Missouri through the St. Louis Cardinals and the Kansas City Royals and the Springfield Cardinals, and so we would have jurisdiction to bring a suit against them here.
All right. Well,
no matter where the uniforms are located. Sorry, Annie.
Yeah, that makes sense. I did want to ask you if we could shift gears a little bit about your efforts against illegal gaming in the state of Missouri. You've been very active in this, and within the last 24 hours, you've talked about executing an illegal gaming search warrant, leading to 13 felony charges. Talk to me a little bit about your efforts here, what kind of threat the situation poses to Missourians, and what you're doing to combat against it.
Yeah, so I think my number one job is to protect Missourians from violent crime, and there are a lot of components that build up to that. We have these illegal slots all over Missouri. We estimate there's 25,000 machines, and then it's a $1 billion industry that's illegal in Missouri. It's almost all cash. And as we've been doing these takedowns, and this is maybe the 9th or 10th that we've done. This one happened to be in Park City, and it was a place called the Sit and Spin that the Highway Patrol and local police said, hey, this is a place where a lot of crime is happening. It's attracting criminals. We, you know, have lots of concerns. So the Highway Patrol executed a search warrant and seized these machines. We're working it from both ends. So the Highway Patrol is executing search warrants on the individual businesses that have these machines located in them. But at the same time, we're talking with the large companies that own these machines and getting them to shut them down. So hopefully a lot of your listeners are seeing machines all over Missouri that have either been moved out or have signs on them saying they are no longer operating until it becomes legal. And that's for the legislature to decide. What I'm worried about is all the criminal activity that comes along with an all-cash business that is illegal. And essentially, the people who operate it are just kind of, you know, flaunting law enforcement and saying, hey, we're just going to do it until somebody stops us, and I'm going to stop it.
Well, you've been active and aggressive in this, and I encourage people to be very wary of these devices pay attention to it the way that you're watching it and pulling things back so that Missourians aren't being taken advantage of. Before we let you go, I just want to read a little bit from this letter that you sent to Manfred, on the commissioner of baseball, because at the end you say, you tell them to respond to this letter confirming that Major League Baseball will not discipline any players who have chosen to refrain from wearing Pride Month paraphernalia or included Bible verses or Pride Month hats. You sent it yesterday. I think you asked them to respond by June 25th. Do you anticipate getting a response from Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, it's a big, sophisticated business that understands that when the attorney general of a state asks questions. Now, do I expect that they're going to respond and promise to, you know, stop engaging in this activity? Probably not. But I think that they are going to reach out and want to have a conversation. And that's when we'll say, you know, we want to see everything that supports this and then make a decision about whether or not we have to go forward with litigation. I think it's great news that, you know, this team in Pennsylvania, this minor league team, has canceled their Pride Night. And I hope we continue to see that happen. And or the players just have the freedom of expression that if they don't want to wear the pride gear or if they do want to include a Bible verse, that they have an equal opportunity to express their views.
Yeah. I can't imagine, a lot of times there's Christian Day at the ballpark, but it's not as though everybody is asked to wear a cross on the front of their hat. And that would not be acceptable. I think as a Christian myself, I would never propose that be put upon all of these players to support that, even though a lot of people in the stadium, at Busch Stadium, would like to maybe buy some sort of Christian connected Cardinals hat. That would be a choice that those fans could make based on their own personal perspective. But the force fed version of the way the pride stuff has been put in, you're really asking for Major League Baseball to consider it as optional more than forced. And boy, that seems pretty First Amendment-y to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And Annie, can you imagine the backlash if the Cardinals came out on the field with a cross on their hats and forced every player to wear it?
Yeah. And I'd be sitting here going, ooh, I don't know about that. You know, I'd be for it. I'd probably buy the hat myself, but trying to put that hat on somebody else, no, I just don't like the domino effect of that. And I feel like that's kind of where we are with it. And I appreciate your willingness to not say that you're out there to try to eliminate Pride Nights from existing at all. You're just saying, don't force it upon someone who doesn't want to wear it, or if they want to make an additional statement along with it, let them do it.
That's exactly right. That's what this whole country was founded on, is freedom, freedom of speech, freedom to exercise your religion. And I don't want to force feed anybody anything. And I agree with you. As Christians, as true believing Christians, we don't think that's the way to bring people to Christ anyway.
Yes.
We want to recruit them and attract them and not try to force it on them.
Yeah, I am right there with you. Well, let us know when you get a response. Hopefully you can share that. Well, people will be following you certainly on X at @AGCHanaway to see what comes of this. We appreciate you jumping into this issue and being hopefully part of a solution that's actually, ironically, more inclusive. It's good to have you on the show with us.
Thanks so much, Annie. Take care. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. The Attorney General for the state of Missouri, Catherine Hanaway, there. Let's take a break here. Ryan's coming back in the studio. We're going to ask you this question and see what kind of response we're getting right now on the text line. Annie Fry Show text line at 314-241-9797. Should electronic bikes be more heavily regulated? Yes, no, or what's an e-bike? We'll be right back.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ryan, I'm really surprised that you're not at the Obama Library opening.
Are you really?
No.
He's not necessarily a president that I loved.
Well, did you like him?
I mean, no, we had a good time, but I can't say that I was a huge fan. No. We had a really good time, though.
I'm going to share this clip. Brad, just stay by the board. I'm 99% sure it's okay. This is the opening of the ceremony that's taking place right now. You know, I don't like to talk about things that are happening live that make you go, oh, I'm going to turn the Annie Fry show off and I'm going to go watch that. It's the Obama Presidential Center opening, and I feel safe on this one.
Well, I don't know. I might leave.
Yeah, I might too. This is the opening.
We'd also like to take a moment to recognize the original inhabitants of the land upon which we are gathered today. We honor the Anishinaabe, the Council of Three Fires, the Ojibwe, the Odawa, and the Potawatomi nations.
Not sure where we don't open every show that way.
It's the land acknowledgement. We're like, we know this is Mark Cox's territory. We understand and know we're also obligated to say we weren't forced to say that.
Listen, we need to acknowledge that there are people on the fourth floor who are smoking weed.
Not anymore.
Nah, they've moved on now because we complained.
Can you give me
enough.
A Kim St. Ange acknowledgement there? You're sitting in her chair.
Oh, that she is on the show? Like, this is her land?
I just need you to acknowledge the land of which you reside.
This is Kim St. Ange's territory for the most part. Once in a while, it's Dan Buck's.
And the most ironic thing is that, Ryan, that you have right there is Kim St. Ange's lipstick.
Oh, is it? I thought this... Okay. I thought this was Brad's.
When I was listening to some clips from... I don't know, some sort of Democratic political party conference or something. So, okay, whatever. I'm sure I disagree with everything they do there, but interesting to look in to see how they're shaping themselves up for the midterms. And Andy Beshear, maybe Chris Murphy, Senator, whatever, Connecticut, possibly. Andy Beshear, I know. He's like, we got to start talking like normal people. And then they're opening the Obama Library, and they're like, we need to acknowledge. This is this thing that they built in the south side of Illinois, Chicago. This thing is, maybe I do intend to go see it sometime. I wouldn't mind walking around it. I would like to know Barack Obama's interpretation of his glory. But this thing is, from the pictures that I see, I do think architecturally it's very ugly. I might go see it and have a different opinion. So I will reserve the right to look at it with my own eyeballs in person and change my mind and be like, okay, I kind of see what they were doing here. You have a land acknowledgement in the opening of the first black president's presidential library? You're just burying the lead here.
Let me also add that they opened the speech with a land acknowledgement that this is stolen land, and then go on to say, and we built it anyway.
Yeah, give it back!
Like, they're saying, yes, this is their land, however, it's ours now.
But if you
and we put this building on
it. If you openly virtue signal about it, it's okay.
Yeah, I guess.
Which is why we feel good sitting here right now. Well, Mark Cox, did you hear that?
We try to acknowledge Mark Cox every day on the show
because
we know that this is his.
Yeah, they should. Ryan and Mark share an office. It gets real bad for Ryan if he doesn't.
I have to
appropriately genuinely.
I have to go full prostrate onto the ground.
Careful.
Prostrate onto the ground.
He makes you do some weird things.
I don't know what else I'm supposed to do. He says acknowledge, and then I get up. The thing that I'm always thankful for is that, yes, we acknowledge that this is Mark Cox's land, and in my case, Kim St. Ange's.
Hey, you think that Mark Reardon would get the tip that he has to acknowledge us, but
I was
no.
getting ready to say, Reardon always says, thank you, Brad, for this territory.
No, I've never heard that. He says, get out of here. You're in my way. He's on vacation, too. He doesn't know we're talking
about. Yeah, haha.
Gosh, I just... When Andy Beshear, governor of Kentucky, who I think is a strong front runner and scary front runner for the Democrats' nomination, because he gets it, as pointed out by him being like, we need to talk like normal people. And then there's a good portion of the Democrat Party like, did he say normal?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh. It's a lost cause.
Did they just say the whole acronym and not say Two-Spirit?
I don't... if the Democrats get back to offering alternative policy thoughts on problems that we collectively, in a bipartisan way, agree, you know, fill in the blank here, this is a problem. The cost of a hospital stay is absurd and arbitrary. The Republicans have solution A, the Democrats have solution B, and they're not doing land acknowledgments before they provide solution B, we could be in a little bit of trouble. I think Marco Rubio, he's my guy. Nothing wrong with J.D. Vance. And every time I go, we played a lot of clips from him yesterday on The View, and I watched that whole thing. Every time I see him do that, I'm like, gosh, he's good too. I've just liked Marco. Marco and I go way back.
Yeah.
He doesn't know that.
He doesn't, and we probably should acknowledge him, since this is a segment of acknowledgments, as being Latinx.
I don't think that he would appreciate that.
You sure? You guys go way back.
What I know is no, he would not appreciate that. If the Democrats get into a rhythm where they actually start identifying with normal people. Can we say that?
I feel
bad saying it. I'm going to be honest. I have reservations of acknowledging, of creating space for
right
normal people.
Well, let's just go ahead and say that you are an ally of normal people.
I feel so seen. Yeah, I'm about as basic normal as it gets, I think. I don't find myself...
You're basic.
Sure. This radio show is unique. It is a unique part of my life, but I feel like I only have this radio show because I'm impossibly normal in a world of very not, very ab.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're here.
To make it more normal.
It's an outreach program. I mean... Land acknowledgements? Who hears that and is like, oh, thank you?
The problem is, for the Democrat Party, when they start doing that, then if you don't do it at any other thing, then you're insensitive. they've opened this can of worms on themselves.
I think that when you do an land acknowledgement, the people who go, oh, thank you so much, are not Native American. I don't think that there are people there, which, by the way, I am Native American. I am Native to America.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
What is the proper name now? I don't think they refer to...
It's American Indian.
American Indian.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're back to that.
Yep.
They're American Indians who are like, knock it off. How do you in the land of the Chicago Blackhawks, where are they opening their hockey games with land acknowledgments? They're like, no, Rock Chalk Blackhawk or whatever they say up there. I don't know what they say up there. Is that it? I think that's it.
Yep.
See, people think that I'm stupid about sports, but I kind of backdoor made myself smart about sports in a way that some people get and some people don't. So you're confused right now. You don't even know what to do.
I'm not really sure about that. We'll ask Ethan when he gets back.
Can I please be there when you're like, hey, we needed to ask you something.
Is Andy stupid about sports or smart?
And he's gonna not know how to answer that. All right. Let's take a break here. When we come back, Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg with us to talk about the Iran deal. I don't know that there will be any more land acknowledgments on here, but if I get a text from Mark Cox, you better believe there will be. Keep it right here on the Annie Fry Show, the YouTube live chat poll. We'll talk more about this a little bit after General Kellogg joins us. Should electronic bikes be more heavily regulated? Send us your texts. That's what we're going to do in the last segment this hour, Ryan. So monitor the texts. I want to know local municipalities, easy for you to say, Annie, that are experiencing this type of concern. Maybe that doesn't exist. But do you have an e-bike problem? 314-241-9797. We'll be right back.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely. Because we have the ability to enforce it. You know, as President Trump says, if Iran steps out of line, if they don't behave, boom, we come right back with military options. The other thing is that the money that you've mentioned, the investment funds and all that, we can see where Iran is using its money now. We couldn't do that a year ago. But the countries where it keeps a lot of its money, the Gulf Arab countries, they've opened their books to us. So if Iran says, oh, we're going to use it, like you said, to build sewage plants and hospitals, but they really are going to give it to Hezbollah, we'll see it move. And then what happens? Boom, we can enforce the agreement. The difference of all the agreements anybody's ever tried to do with Iran, we have the enforcement capability now, because that armada is going no place. And we also have the enforcement capability because the Gulf Arabs, for the first time ever, They usually sit out any conflict in the Middle East. This time, they're on our side.
So there you have the former Deputy National Security Advisor, KT McFarland, on Fox News, reacting to the deal and saying it's enforceable and speaking a little more positively than other folks that I've heard react to the memorandum of understanding signed in Versailles last night by President Trump. Let's get Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg here with us, co-chair of American Security at America First Policy Institute, also former assistant to the president and special presidential envoy for Ukraine. General Kellogg, thank you for the time today. It's great to have you with us.
Gary, Annie, good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Just open question. How do you feel about the memorandum of understanding between the United States and Iran?
Well, I think what everybody has to do is relax in the harness. In other words, chill out a little bit. Look, it's a memorandum of understanding. It builds to the deal, which they haven't got delivered yet. It's an interim deal. Handshake shows intent to go forward. And I think it's going to be restructured a little bit as to the importance of each element to it. It's primarily an economic deal when you look at it. And I think that didn't surprise me knowing where Donald Trump comes from. For example, nuclear is not even mentioned until Article 8 of the 14 the articles in there. The first articles are all about economics. And I can see that being developed and what's going forward. And I think you have to look at it, where do you want to go with this? And I think where they want to go with it is they don't want a worldwide recession. They were heading there probably not with us, but the fact is that oil was really destined for others. We don't need it. We don't use it at all, except for the state of California. So I looked at it and I said, well, this is one that's going to be worked out over the next 60 days. What does it look like? Where's the importance of it? And who's going to be kind of running it? The whole thing is that, do you trust the Iranians? I don't.
Yeah.
And I think getting to a proper end state if based on economy is great, but they're one of those guys you just don't really trust a lot.
Sure.
So I don't see where they're going to go. I don't think President Trump realizes how much damage the United States has really done to them militarily. You're not going to see them come back in the next couple of years. This is going to be something that will be developed after Trump's watch well in the future. So I'm not as, you know, gloom and doom as a lot of people are right now, because I understand it to be as a memorandum. It's an interim state versus a final state. And you want to kind of say, what does the final state look like? And that is primarily, I worry about, is recovering the enriched uranium that in the document says is going to be basically put under control of IAEA, which is probably the proper place, that they build it and they get it out of there. So I would say let's just hold fire, meaning what is it going to look like at the end? Be a lot of input. Congress will have input. Other people will have input. And we'll see where it ends up at.
Here's a question, General Kellogg speaking with us right now. Would you be surprised if this time next week Iran's bombing people and we're right back to where we were before this MOU was signed?
Would I be surprised, Annie?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
I didn't think so.
Because I don't trust them at all. You know, so this is one of those, I don't think it'll happen next week. But I think over time, when you look at the Middle East, the situation, it's a very volatile area. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's some type of kinetic action that's going to occur. And it's one of those, you kind of have to accept it. What's going to be his response you're going to have there? There will be a lot of people who are just going to say, oh, it's just a simple violation. No, it's not. And we'll see where it goes. I primarily worry about Israel, Lebanon, Hezbollah, what's going to happen there. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody's really been a very good predictor of what's going to happen with kinetic actions in the Middle East. I think so. I go back to my starting comment to you. Do I think, would I be surprised by it? And the answer would be no.
Yeah. I think that that's a lot of the common reaction is there's no room for any trust in Iran and what their new intent might be. They'd have to prove it over and over and over again for quite some time before people would even consider trusting them to act differently than they have always acted. KT McFarland, in that clip that we played before we brought you on, was stating some things that are very different at this moment in time compared to other opportunities we've had to make agreements. But also, I'd like to ask you, and you've spoken a little bit about this here, where we are right now with Iran's capabilities right now compared to before the president started the bombing here to make sure that they decimated their military. Has President Trump and his administration put Iran in a different position than they've ever been before when these negotiations were taking place? Is it really a very different set of circumstances?
Yeah, I would say it is, because their military has been badly damaged in their missile systems, their air defense systems, their air force. They haven't got a navy anymore. So I would say that militarily, they're much less of a power, or they can influence much less than before. And the fact that the Israelis took out Hezbollah, they've took out Hamas, the Houthis have been relatively quiet, it shows that their interaction among the region has been diminished. That doesn't mean they're not going to build back. That doesn't mean they won't play an active role. But today, and probably tomorrow, I would say that their ability to do that has been greatly diminished. So in that much, I would say, yeah, it's been pretty good for us.
We're speaking with Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, co-chair of American Security at America First Policy Institute. President Trump has been very clear the entire time. He's summed it up as the goal is to ensure that Iran will never have a nuclear weapon. After the strait was closed, there was a second point that was the strait must be fully reopened. Has this conflict become broader than those goals that President Trump set out to accomplish because of the actions that have taken place?
Well, I, you know, when you look at it, you know, we're just advisors and we have noise level. But when it comes to actual decision making, that's why he gets paid the big bucks to make those decisions. And I think, you know, my concern has always been that as long as you've got a theocratic regime in charge, hardline revolutionary guards, you're going to have a problem, because these are the ones who chant, and they've been chanting over decades, death to America, death to Israel. Well, you got to believe that they mean that. And even though we've really damaged their leadership, and now their leadership is down to second or third tier, they're going to probably go back. And that's what you concern yourself with. Not over the next 2 years, but next 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, are we going to be confronted with the same problem 5 years from now? And I hate to say it, but it, as long as you've got this theocratic government in charge, the probability is, yeah, you are. That's my issue.
Mm, yeah. General Kellogg speaking with us right now. Does this conflict have any collateral consequence? I don't necessarily box it in to say damage. Any collateral consequence to the war that's still taking place in Ukraine, between Ukraine and Russia? Has there been any fallout from the Iran conflict that has affected anything that's going on in Ukraine?
Yeah, I think so. I think because Russia has become a diminished power and their equipment isn't as good. And the focus, here's what's been helpful, is our focus has been the Middle East. Because of that, we've kind of left Ukraine alone. And Ukraine's been able to establish a position of not dominance, but be on the offensive with Russians. And they can kind of do that without us being looking over their shoulder. So in that regard, it's been very helpful. Not weaponry, but influence. And I think that's good that Ukraine has gone there. And I think it's hurt the Russians. Even the other day when the president was at the G7, he mentioned he wants Russia to make a deal. Notice he didn't say he wants for Ukraine to make a deal. Mm-hmm. He wanted Russia to make a deal. That's a shift. And it's a subtle shift, but it's one I picked up on right away.
Yeah, it's China has been affected, of course, with the oil access to oil, both with the Iran conflict and also our action in Venezuela. How has the administration's managing of these foreign situations affected probably our biggest adversary in multiple fronts in China?
Well, it's affected China because China is very dependent on its oil that's coming out of the Middle East, primarily Iran. So they probably had their ears perked up when we damaged the heck out of Iran, because they give them all their frontline equipment along with the Russians, and we were able to defeat it. Plus, the president's come out of this very much stronger in controlling their oil, and he understands that. So I think, if anything, it put a check with the Chinese that they realized they're going to have to deal with the United States as a very powerful entity from a power position, and it's not something they can control. But that is the good news. Here's the bad news. They realize that if you can secure a choke point, like the Strait of Hormuz, they can do with the same with the South China Sea. And they can get a lot of, traffic goes through the South China Sea. Mm-hmm. So this freedom of navigation is important. They show that the Iranians can control that. So I think they've now got in their game plan, well, what if we control the South China Sea and the entrance by tankers or the economics of that? That's going to be very important in the future.
General Kellogg speaking with us right now on the pending Iran deal, which is currently a memorandum of understanding. Those are very different things. A peace deal and a memorandum of understanding. One can lead to the other, but isn't a guarantee, certainly. General Kellogg, has our efforts with minimizing Iran's ability to impact the world, it seems as though the president, especially in discussing that they were sneaking oil out amidst the shutting down of the Strait of Hormuz, is the world reconfiguring their reliance on Iran to the point where even if the Strait were fully open, that maybe other places that were enriching Iran by purchasing their products, they're taking their exports, that maybe the world has found a different way around that, that wouldn't put Iran in the position to close the Strait down once again?
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, and like the Saudis can actually deliver oil from the Red Sea. Because they've built that big pipeline that goes to Yanbu is where they want to take it out. So they can do that, and they can offset the Strait of Hormuz. So I think they're thinking about that. They're very creative about it. And I think that the Iranians have been diminished, and their oil production has been diminished. But what they'll do to offset that, they'll sell oil a lot cheaper. So I think people are looking at a way around this. They're not going to sit static. But they'll try to figure out what is a different way to get oil. They can get it from us. You know, we're exporting oil, we, the United States, that we've never really done before. So this is a chance for us to get pretty heavily involved in the oil game as well.
And then last question I have, and we're really grateful for your time. We're speaking with Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg. It seems to me like the natural flow of power would see potentially Iran's power diminishing. And then maybe someone else decides to try to fill some sort of void that exists. And maybe if Iran's not going to be the state sponsor of terror anymore, then maybe somebody else is looking to fill in that opportunity. Are there any other places in the world right now that while everybody's eyes are squarely on what's going on in Iran and specifically the Strait of Hormuz, are you looking anywhere else right now to just kind of see how they react?
Well, with the Middle East, I think Iran's irritated their neighbors, the Emiratis, the Qataris, the Bahrainis, the Saudi Arabians. So I think those places, the region, is going to fairly well align with the United States. And then with the Houthis out there kind of on their own with Yemen, and then with Israel controlling Hezbollah in Lebanon, I don't see anybody else coming in. It's sort of like Iran's not a pariah state, but they're getting close. And for the United States to operate in that region, I think is good. I think all the neighbors of Iran realize that these guys are thugs and they've gravitated more to us. So I think it's been good in the long term. What's going to happen with the United States and our relations with other partners in the Middle East? So it's actually good for us, not bad.
Well, we will continue to follow it, of course, as you are. And we're always grateful that you spend a little bit of your time with us. Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, thank you for being with us this afternoon.
Thanks, Annie.
Take care. Bye-bye. He is the co-chair of American Security at the America First Policy Institute and very generous of his time here so he can speak to you. It's great to have him back on the show. We'll take a quick break here. Ryan's coming back in studio, and I'm going to take your text messages right now. I want to know localities that are having e-bike concerns. Is it just Madison County, Illinois? Maybe I'm just airing our dirty laundry out there for everybody. Should electronic bikes be more heavily regulated? Yes, no, or what's an e-bike? YouTube.com/@Annie Fry to vote and to comment, and your texts on the Annie Fry Show text line at 314-241-9797. Back in a minute. In the biggest way we can, the e-bike problem that is plaguing us. Or maybe not. I don't know. You got an e-bike situation going on in your community? I have been attuned to this in the local community Facebook groups where problems are not solved but created usually.
Or at least acknowledged.
You know who I will every once in a while get snarky with? If you want to post to complain about something and you do it anonymously, put your name on that And if you put your name on it, I'll acknowledge internally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe they have a right to complain about that. If you go out and say really trashy things and the name you post under is Moldy Pickle, I'm not going to respect you at all. I'm going to comment snarkily.
Oh, me too.
Can't help it.
Uh-huh.
E-bikes are a hot button issue in our community. Facebook groups, and it's because there are kids who are riding these e-bikes very fast in an unsupervised capacity. And here's an example of a response. The kids are finally off their devices and out on the paths, and they can't even get, they're not even allowed to do that right, and blah, blah, blah. So that's the pro kids being on e-bikes, driving 20 miles an hour past grandma who's out there walking her shih tzu on the path trying to just live her life and enjoy some vitamin D.
Next time, say poop shoe, please.
No. Do what I want.
Or gumshoe.
Any texts at the Annie Fry Show text line?
Yep. This one says, O'Fallon, Missouri just banned all electric scooters.
Banned them? From
that
where?
That is what Dan says.
Dan, give us more details. Like, they're not even allowed?
Dan, you are our source here on this.
So yeah.
You got to let us know.
Our man on the street.
This person right afterwards says, Governor Pritzker is an idiot.
Yes. Also important and relevant to all of our conversations.
But they didn't stop there. He says, or she says, e-bikes and scooters should not be taxed or require license. He just wants to tax and raise costs to the taxpayers of Illinois. He needs to go. He's ruining the state of Illinois.
Yeah.
So, yes.
And I also agree that they shouldn't be taxed or licensed. I just think that maybe they should not be able to be where pedestrians are just casually strolling.
This person says, I manage a subdivision of 700 homes. I don't know exactly what that means, but that's what he says.
At least he's the president of the HOA, and that's what he puts that on his resume.
He?
I think it's a he. At least a dozen electric bikes riding around. I get tons of calls concerning that somebody is going to get killed.
Yeah.
I guess that... somebody's going to get killed? Really? Okay.
Well, you get hit by a car, yeah.
They would get killed.
There are...
Not that they would do the killing.
Bicycles. Forget about the e-bike part, but bicycles are so arbitrary on when people decide to follow the rules of the road. If you're on a bike and you're riding on the road, you probably have to stop at the stop sign. But if you're in a car approaching a stop sign, a four-way stop, and you see a bike, you better just sit tight and wait for that bike to do whatever that bike's going to do. Because you get into a fight, you're going to win, and the bike's going to lose every time.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to kind of sit back and default to the bicycles. I am a fan of bicycles being on sidewalks versus busy roads.
Oh, I am too.
I don't have a problem with that. But I do think that when you speed them up by, what, four times? And again, you put kids on them.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the kid, but you're not out there parenting your kid. And, you know, maybe the kid could be harmlessly in a situation where maybe what they're doing isn't the most responsible, but yet here it is.
Anymore? This person says, I care about e-bikes as much as I care about cow farts. Neither affect me in the slightest. This person says, regulate.
I really care about cow farts.
They're in favor of regulations on e-bikes, especially if they're being driven on public roadways.
Yeah. I suspect that if you're listening to this right now and you have never even considered e-bike gate, that throughout this coming weekend, you're going to start noticing some e-bikes and going, oh, I don't know about that. Go vote in the YouTube poll. We'll be right back.